let's just expose the mental health crisis. We all know people who have been through it. It's a hard time for young people in high school or in university at any time. Well, these are difficult years. But when there's no graduation, when you can't socialize, when all your teams are canceled, the mental health challenges are beyond difficult. I have two kids in high school, and I see it. And I see it with their friends, and I see it with my friends' kids. And I remember those times. But it's worse now. They're going through challenges that we've never understood. There are surveys that saying something like, you know, 1 in 7 kids between grades 7 and 12 in the province of Ontario have harmed themselves on purpose, self-harm. 1 in 6 had thoughts of suicide. This is terrifying to me. They need to talk to someone. This is from the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. And I want to bring in Dr. Joanna Henderson, the director of the Margaret and Wallace McCain Center for Child, Youth, and Family Mental Health, and the executive director of the Youth Wellness Hubs Ontario. This is going, those numbers were, by the way, 2019. Things are probably worse now. Dr. Henderson, first of all, thank you so much. We're always in a crisis with young people more than we know. Is it getting worse?
Yes, definitely. You know, the data you were reporting on are from 2019. We know that subsequent to the start of the pandemic and the associated public health restrictions that we've had, that young people are experiencing deterioration of their mental health. And that's both young people who had mental health challenges before, as well as people who hadn't had mental health challenges before. So very concerning situation.
And how is it manifesting? Like, how are they, like, what are kids saying right now? How is it showing up?
Yeah, I mean, as a parent, you'd be able to notice different things, and it's different for different young people. You might see young people who are withdrawing from the usual activities, things that they usually might enjoy, they're enjoying less, they might be spending more time in the room, might be harder to get out of bed, harder to engage, less time with their friends. And of course, it's so challenging right now to yeah. say, oh yeah, connecting virtually with your friends is just as good, you know, but we need to encourage young people to do those things.
What do you do though? So let's say you know, kids are crying, they're isolating, they're, as you say, they're just feeling isolated right now. What advice do you have for parents and friends when they see this change of behavior? Because these kids have been essentially locked down for 10 months, sort of up and down. Mm-hmm. They don't look, their graduation or their end of the year or their summer camp or whatever they're looking forward, it's just not there anymore. And there, you see personalities change. What do you do? Like, what's the advice?
Yeah, I mean, there are multiple different things to do. One, at the most basic level, we need to create space for open, honest conversations. Sometimes parents of teenagers interpret that to mean asking lots of questions. It actually means like asking maybe one or two questions and doing a lot of listening. It also means sometimes modeling one's own sort of thoughts and feelings, always keeping in mind that our role as parents, there's an important role for reassurance. So those kinds of conversations where we can say, gee, that, you know, this was a really difficult day for me and here's how I'm coping. This is what I'm doing to take care of myself. Just can create opportunities for conversation and checking in and listening. I think also having some routine. It's easy to sort of, I think, as a family, you know, lose the sense of routine because we've lost our structures, especially if people are working from home and school from home. So thinking about those kind of regular demarcations between being awake and being asleep, bedtime, getting up in the morning, getting ready for your day, eating well, being outside, getting some exercise. Those are all really important pieces. And if you're concerned, creating opportunities for your youth to speak to someone. If it's not all youth are going to be comfortable speaking with their parents, that's normal. It can even be healthy that they want to speak to someone else. So making sure you follow through on those things, connecting them up with the family doctor or a resource at school or a resource in the community or even another caring adult who's a member of the extended family or social network.
But do you think that COVID is spiking this stuff?
Well, the data you reported at the top are from pre-COVID. So we know
it's already bad pre-COVID, Doc.
Exactly, exactly. So it's already, like, we already needed to be taking action. And COVID is really just, pushing us along and really, hopefully will inspire the change that we need to see in the system. I also just do want to say, though, there isn't one story for all young people. And we are also seeing the resilience of young people. We're seeing them supporting each other, talking about coping skills. There are some great resources on the CAMH website and other websites that have been designed by youth for youth. And we have seen, that they can be really adaptive and responsive, and even thinking about how can I support my community? And when we can facilitate young people doing that, that can also contribute to positive mental health. Even though it doesn't look like treatment or therapy,
yeah,
it can have very positive impacts.
I'm going to ask people if they're going through it, because I opened the program today saying that people are starting to feel it. I mean, I feel like we're at an inflection point here, Doctor, that people have done unbelievable things, right? Really great patience, collective adaptation. There's a huge amount of sacrifice. And I just believe because the vaccine's on the horizon, but so it's created, you can see the finish line, but it's a receding finish line because we just don't know anything about it, when, where, how. And things are getting worse. I feel like we're at some kind of inflection point. I think we got to be worried right now and concerned about that. Do you sense that, or are you seeing that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have data to support that definitely as we've moved into the second wave, things got a little bit better. Where you look at longitudinal data over the course of the pandemic, things got a little bit better in the summer. And now things are getting worse for people. And people are really struggling. And that includes young people, but it also includes, adults who are parents of children, parents of young children. We've seen, we see rates of, drinking, higher rates of drinking, parental experiences of anxiety and depression, and those also play out for young people. So these are really moments where we have to take care of ourselves, reach out to others, and continue. It's very difficult. Like, both of those things are true.
Yeah, and one other thing, and I don't have a lot of time, but my concern is that a lot of people turn to a mental health professional and they're overwhelmed and they have to wait. That's the other thing. Dr. Henderson, I really appreciate what you're doing.